Well, as one deaf man to another deaf man, you did good.
Thank you.
Appreciate what you had to say, GV. And I'd like to make an illustration and then make a question off of that illustration. When I was a teenager, and you'll remember this, in Oklahoma City, on Sunday evenings, a lot of times we got together to play volleyball. And the very first time I ever went to play volleyball with the young people new in Oklahoma City was at Woodrow Black's house, and I didn't know how to serve. I'd never played volleyball before. I don't know that I've ever hardly seen it before. So first time it was my turn to serve, I served right into the net, and I was embarrassed. And I made a determination. I felt this sense of urgency. I've got to get better so that I don't embarrass myself. And all. There was a sense of urgency there. And so I went and bought a volleyball, went in my backyard and practiced serving it up over the roof of the house so I could at least get it over the net. I felt a sense of urgency. Now take that thought and apply it to the eldership. And I'm going to ask, in a sense, why don't we have a sense of urgency to develop elders? Now, when we look at the eldership, we look at the condition we're in. There are the reasons why we don't have elders. We're afraid. We're motivated by fear sometimes because we've seen elderships that have problems. We've seen abusive elderships, and so we're afraid to have one because we've seen them in bad in some other places. Sometimes we're apathetic. We enjoy things the way they are. There's no hurry to change. Sometimes people think, well, the eldership's a new thing. Why do we want to get in such a big hurry to have a new thing? Well, in reality, this idea of a business meeting with majority rule is the new thing. The old thing is what the Bible teaches. Now, my question is, how can we get our congregations to feel a sense of urgency to ordain elders and not just give it lip service, but feel this sense of urgency to do what the Bible tells us to do?
I don't know how we can instill the urgency, the basic urgency in them. I think we have to model it ourselves in training them and expressing the need for it there. But I don't have any magic way of saying how. But I agree with what you said, and I remember that. I don't remember you hitting the ball. But.
Richard Bunn.
Very positive, GV. I like the talk. I wasn't sure. Did I miss? Did you comment on whether or not the elder needs to have children who are Christians?
I did not comment on that. I did not comment on that. I chose not to because I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole. At this point, I want to deal with what I'm dealing with in this.
Okay. How do you feel about that?
Yes, I do. I believe they should.
That would have some bearing on his age,
though. Well, yeah, right, it does. I did mention those who are immersed living in their household at home.
Thank you, GV. I really appreciated it, especially when you talked about, in the beginning, the concept that these are Christian characteristics. I think from the people I've talked to, who I view as guys who could be elders, one of the things that has scared some of them is this concept of, we put elders on this pedestal that they're an impossible position that we all attain for, but maybe we'll never get to. So I think that's an important characteristic to look at. But what struck me as you were concluding was this train your replacements point. What are some practical ways you can do that from you to me? How would to replace you in some way? How would that work?
Well, some in just modeling mentoring there in your teaching, in talking to you about how you conduct your family, how you conduct your home, how you practice with others as well, your hospitality, those kinds of things. Okay. Training them in those areas.
Would you take younger men along with you to, if you went on home studies or in those kind of works, would you suggest that as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because You can't do that in all cases, because sometimes as an elder you deal with, you have access to people's homes and deal with things that are very close that need to be kept confidential in those things. But there are many things that you can work with them and expand them and help them to practice.
All right, thank you. One more question. It's something that kind of struck me when you're talking about the age of an elder and kind of the requirements necessary there. Something that has struck me is in Philemon, Paul, when he's addressing Philemon and kind of suggesting what he should do with Onesimus, is he says, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The commentators I've read in regards to that says that that word aged speaks to age accelerated by experience. And so how does experience kind of work into the age requirement of an elder?
Well, I think it absolutely has to work in there, because you don't meet the criteria that is listed in Timothy and in Titus without experience in doing it. And then also, you know, you can't do it inexperienced as a novice. So, very good.
Alan the Bonfire.
That was good, GV. I like the positive nature of it myself. And one thing I did notice about the questions you did address, and I think this is true of many questions about eldership, a lot of the answers to these questions are based upon wisdom. There is not always a thus saith the Lord. If there is, then that's that. But there's not always a thus saith the Lord about all these questions. And you need to evaluate what is written in the scriptures and what is wise for that particular congregation. Also, I wanted to note that you mentioned one, but I think there's another, sometimes major problems that occur with elderships. When you have an eldership, and like Doug mentioned, sometimes things don't go better, but worse. One reason is because elders often, when in many of the places where we have elders, which is, I know, a minority, but still, in many of those places, the elder wants to do a good job, he's intent on doing a good job, and he is consumed by that, and he doesn't include the rest of the leadership that was part of that church before he came along as an elder. And that's one of the ways that you continue to train men to take your place. Now, not everybody's qualified, but some of those men might be someday. And you need to include their leadership as much as ever. That's part of being an overseer.
Right, right. Assigning tasks.
Yeah. And the other one is, along the same line, elders are filled with this tremendous responsibility of this huge job that is critically important, and if they're not careful, they will become micromanagers of people's lives, and not everything is an elder's business. And if you don't believe that, then you start getting in the middle of people's lives where you don't belong, and you'll find out you don't have as much authority as you thought you did. And that ends up causing trouble. They didn't select you because you were a micromanager, probably. They selected you because of the leadership style you had to start with. And so you need to be careful about changing that leadership style. But I thought that was a good job.
No, thank you. Thank you, Alan. No, I appreciate the comments.
Great job, cuz. It was very
thank you,
enjoyable.
Brother cousin.
speak into it like that. All right. I wanted to make a comment in regard to what Brother Doug said about instilling urgency. I think that training young men is one way. I've grown up in a lot of congregations and attended congregations where the general approach was to criticize those who were not qualified, but nothing happened beyond that. And I think that there's certainly a picture in Titus's epistle, especially, on the responsibility to develop elders where they lack, rather than simply to wait for them to grow in the wild. When I moved to Tulsa, we got together to talk about the possibility of an eldership. And one of the brethren said, who'd been there for a long time, he said, well, Those who sought the young child's life are dead. I guess we can have them now. Well, that's how a lot of places handle it. We wait for the opponents to die off, and then we have a moment of peace, and we can put in elders. I believe that's wrong. We wouldn't have that attitude if it was setting the Lord's table scripturally.
Right.
We wouldn't have that attitude if it had to do with our singing or our teaching following the Bible pattern. And I have a question about that, but before I do, I want to mention two other things that I believe we can do to instill urgency. One is to teach on the eldership and to demand that it be taught on. Demand that our gospel preachers preach on it when they come hold a meeting. Demand it. Ronnie Wade told me that when Brother King and Brother Gay set out to do what they did that was so influential in all of our lives, they made a pact that they would teach on the cup and the Sunday school at least one night every meeting because those issues were threatening the brotherhood. They considered those issues important, and look where we are now. As diverse and troubled as we tend to be as a people sometimes, we all believe in one cup, we all believe in no Bible class. We could do the same thing with elders if we would just make it a priority. If we would teach on it and preach on it at home and demand that preachers, and if they don't want to preach on it, don't have them come hold a meeting. Say, we don't need you to come. That's what the old brethren would have done if a man had said, I won't preach on the communion. We need to do the same thing. I believe that. The second thing we need to do is we need to pray for it in our assemblies. Richard Bunner told me about the brethren who can't get grape juice in Africa. I don't want to sidetrack the issue there, but one of the things that he has encouraged those brethren to do, when they don't have access to grape juice and they can't take the Lord's Supper, don't just ignore it, because one day grape juice will be available, but they still won't take it because they've gotten used to not taking it. So what do? You remind the church, we're in a bad situation here, and we want to pray and we want to invite God to be a part of it and to change our circumstance. We've talked about the power of prayer. If we believe in that, when we don't have elders in our churches, why are we not praying for it every time we get together and pray a public prayer in the assembly? So those are suggestions. And my question is, when we find ourselves in a congregation that will not be motivated, what do we do? I've gotten to where I feel that if I'm at a church that will not be motivated to put in elders, I don't feel much different about that than I would if they put individual cups on the communion table. And I'd like your wisdom on that.
I would feel much the same way. I think you do what you can to make it known, to make them know clearly what it is, and then you may need to move on. And that's not just talking about as a preacher. I'm talking about as a member of the congregation, you know.
Thank you, brother. I have a different question than the one I was going to tell you I was going to ask, so I'm throwing you a second curveball. I know there's some scriptures about wives, specifically deacons' wives, but I think it's applicable to elders' wives as well. But will you take a moment to answer this? How do we encourage our moms and our daughters, our wives, as they encourage the next generation of elders and elders' wives? How do we get our girls ready?
Well, I think what you do is you look at what Paul tells Timothy and Titus about the older women teaching the younger women. We need to encourage the older women to teach the younger women in this. They need to understand that our older women and our younger women need to understand that if they are an elder's wife or do aspire to be an elder's wife, that they play a significant role in the eldership. And what we have done in Auburn is we have viewed our wives, the elders have viewed their wives as equal partners in many ways in the eldership. That they we share information with them, we meet also with them, and sometimes they're the ones who straighten us out on that is what we would do there on that. And so they need to understand that they need to play a leadership role as well, and it's not just on the husband there and that, because then they become an integral part of the leadership of the women of the congregation there, modeling then and doing that. I don't know that I answered completely.
Great. Thank you, GV. A lot of good things. In looking at Acts 15, you have Barnabas and Silas, who were called leading men. So just to comment on some things regarding that. Every congregation is led. It may be by Sister So-and-so. It may be by Sister So-and-so's wimpy husband. Every congregation is led, but not necessarily well. In some days in the past, we have said, until we have elders, can we at least agree that only those who fill in the blank, some congregations, only those who are experienced, others, only those who teach, or only those who are, quote, older, can be part of the decision-making and leading process of the congregation until we can have elders. Any thoughts on that? That's number one.
I think that's the first part of it. And then the second part is, what are we doing to have elders?
Yeah.
Because that needs to be an integral part of that. Because otherwise, then what you're doing is you're setting up a non-eldership leadership in that. And ingraining that in the congregation,
which is ingrained in most of our congregations
right
today, and how we break that cycle peacefully, respectfully, is a very difficult thing. And sometimes you do end up with not he who sought the child's life is dead, but when you die, file. That some congregations won't progress toward an eldership until some people die. And that's the only way they're going to have peace in a congregation, and that's always sad.
That's the only way that a peaceful transition toward an eldership can take place.
Right. But let me compare that for just a second with what David did when he was not allowed to build the temple. He wanted to build the temple. He was ready to build the temple. He had the means to build the temple. He had permission at first, and then he was told because he was a man of war, he could not, but his son could. Now, David had options there. He could have pouted. He could have been upset. Mm-hmm. Instead, what he did for the rest of his life was gather materials to make it as easy as possible for his son to build the temple. And I think the lesson for us is we may be in a state in our own life, in our family, where we cannot be an elder. How can we make it as easy as possible for others to achieve that great goal? And I think that's the solution for a lot of this.
I think you're right. And it may not be just in your life. It may be in the congregation because of certain circumstances there. But you have to move. Do what you can to move in that direction. Thank you, Greg.
Roger, you may be our last question, depending on what's happening.
I just felt kind of interested in making a comment here. The church at Placerville, where I go to, has two elders. We had kind of prepared for that for a number of years. And then there came a time, and it may have been several years, where we got complacent and we didn't do anything about it. We were sitting around, things were going good, and we were working fine, but we weren't moving towards elders. And then a man came to me, I believe his name was Glenn Vance, and he said to me privately, "Roger, what's keeping you at Placerville from having elders?" And I had to step back a minute and say, I don't know if I answered him. But I went back to the congregation. I said, congregation, what's keeping us from having elders? And we've had some talk here about what we can do. Sometimes we just have to move up on each other and say, hey, what's holding you back? You know, that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Roger. I will note this. When Placerville appointed its eldership in 2017, was it? Placerville was the only church west of Midland, Texas, with elders. Churches at Yuba City, Fair Oaks, Lodi, Stockton, Manteca, El Cajon, who had had elders, and then Auburn, no longer had elders. Now, since then, the church in North Plains, Oregon, there in the Portland area, has elders appointed in October. And progress. It's difficult at times, and there's certain circumstances oftentimes that we could all lead back and say, well, this is why this happened in this congregation, this is why this happened there, why the circumstances there, but it's always a pressing forward, and it always has to be a pressing forward.
Thank you, Judy. Do you have any concluding remarks?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much.